Welcome, everyone, once again to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad, once again, that you're joining us for our online worship experience. The show Kenan and Kel premiered in the mid-90s on Nickelodeon. It was a sitcom starring Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell. And a running gag on the show that caught on with teenagers who were my age at the time had to do with Kel's appreciation, deep appreciation for orange soda. Starting in the pilot and running through many episodes throughout the series, this dialogue would occur whenever Kel caught sight of a bottle of orange soda, or whenever he heard someone mention orange soda, or whenever someone would offer him orange soda. Someone would say, and sometimes it was him, would say, "Who loves orange soda?" And Kel would say, "Kel loves orange soda." And they would ask some questions, and at the end, someone would say, "Is it true?" And he would say, it's true, I do, ooh. And for some reason, this caught on with people. Now, part of it had likely to do with the fact that Kel just had fantastic delivery, much better than how I deliver it. And, you know, the fact that Kel would do almost anything for orange soda made it somewhat ridiculous and catchy. But I think that some of it had to do as well with the fact that even though it was for something silly, his unabashed appreciation, his unabashed love for something connected with people. Because at a deep level, we all have a longing. We all have or long to have that kind of love for something, that kind of passion, that kind of appreciation, that kind of aspiration, that kind of longing for something or some things, someone or someone's, some cause or many causes, that kind of love that shapes what we do, that shapes the direction of our lives, that helps manage our choices. We all long for something to be so connected to our heart that it focuses us, that it helps us focus our best attention on. This morning, we're going to be looking at a passage in the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. It's a psalm that expresses that kind of love for something that we may not have considered having that kind of love for. Psalm 119 expresses a Kel loves orange soda kind of love for Scripture. Now, for some of us, the idea of loving Scripture enough to dedicate the longest chapter of the Bible to expressing that love seems a little bit odd. It seems about as odd as Kel's love for orange soda. But I want to invite us to consider what the author of the psalm communicates about why he loves Scripture this much. There's a reason why he dedicates so much to his love for Scripture. As we continue in our Make Room series, I want to invite us to consider that increasing our love for Scripture, increasing our love for God's Word, increasing our engagement with Scripture, even just a little bit, even if it doesn't reach Kel loves orange soda levels, it might be just the thing that we need. Just the thing that will create space for God to work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. So if you have a Bible, would you join me in Psalm 119? We're going to read two portions of the psalm. We're going to start in verse 9, and then we'll read a little bit, and then we'll skip over to verse 41. If you don't have access to a Bible, whether a physical copy or one in an app, we're going to put it on the screen in just a second. But here we go, Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, For I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Now, the two sections include statements that communicate some of the reasons that the psalmist loved the scripture, and they also communicate some different ways to engage with scriptures. We're going to talk about both today, but we're going to start with the reasons. In those first few verses, you get this sense that scripture has made a significant difference in the author's life. It's what he points to. Scripture is what he points to when he asks what keeps him on the path of purity. Now, I know that word purity for many of us has connotations of being specifically about sexuality, because it got used a lot in that sort of language and that sort of movement in previous decades. But in this context, the word purity means so much more. It is so much broader than just that. When we talk about purity here, it's about being on the right path, the path that is good, the path that is best, the path that is ideal. And it seems really important for the author to stay on that path. He talks about not wanting to stray from God's commands. He doesn't want to sin against God. And over again, he points to the scriptures. He ties his ability to stay on the path, on that path, to God's word, because God's word is what keeps us on the right path. God's word helps keep us on the right path. That path that God keeps us on is a path that is marked by good. It is marked by all that is good. God's word leads us to good for ourselves, but it doesn't just lead to good for ourselves. It leads us to be good for others. It leads us to extend blessing to all those around us. The scripture challenges us in so many ways to express goodness and generosity and mercy and love on all fronts. God's word keeps us on the right path, the path that is a blessing to us, but the path that also empowers us to be a blessing to those around us. That first section also has statements that communicate a sense of happiness, almost excitement. There are words like rejoice and praise and delight. You get this sense that this person loves God's word, and it's led to him experiencing the kind of freedom that can't help but burst forth in gladness and joy. And that's because God's word enables us to walk in freedom. God's word enables us to walk in freedom. Now, what that looks like specifically might vary for each of us, and it might vary at different times in our lives, depending on what part of scripture we've been engaging with. But let me share two instances from my life when I've experienced God's word enabling me to walk in freedom and that leading to joy and gladness. There was a time in my life when I lived under a sense of dread. I was under a sense of dread that my sins would eventually cause God to get tired of me. I thought God was going to quit on me, that he would stop loving me. And that both caused me to work extra hard on proving myself to be a super holy person and consequently a very obnoxious person. But it also led to a downward doom spiral whenever I sinned. And then I caught something in the scriptures. I caught something in God's word. I caught the idea that God's love for me was unshakable. Not that my sin didn't sadden God, but that it didn't put a dent in his love for me. And I also caught that there was nothing I could do that could increase his love for me. When I caught that, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. I felt free. Another time, in fact, if I'm honest, this has happened to me numerous times over the years. I felt the weight of all my responsibilities on my shoulders. And I was feeling incredibly anxious all the time. It was paralyzing me, and it was making me very difficult to be around. I always felt like I was in a no-win situation. Like I couldn't do enough to actually get the things done that I needed to get done and meet all the responsibilities that I had. And then I caught something in scripture. I read in God's word about God's invitation to bring all my anxiousness to him. The invitation wasn't to throw them out. It wasn't to just buckle down and bite my lip and just press on. It wasn't to ignore them, but it was to invite him to care for them. It was to invite him to carry the things that made me anxious in a way that I couldn't carry, in a way that I couldn't accomplish, and then to exchange that for his peace. When I realized that I didn't need to shirk my responsibilities in order to be free from my anxiousness, when I invited God into that space, I felt free. God's word enabled me to walk in freedom, and I was overjoyed. I wonder what freedom is awaiting you in the scriptures. What are you needing freedom from or for in your life? What might God have for you if you explore the scriptures? How might God be wanting to enable you to walk in freedom as you fall in love with his word? Now, in the second portion that we read, we get a sense that the psalmist loves scriptures because of how they've helped him. How they've helped him in times of need and in times of adversity. Right at the beginning, it talks about how he can call on God because he knows God's promises. He knows God's promises and can call on God to keep his promise of unfailing love, of salvation. His trust in God enables him to respond to those who oppose him. And it also enables him to have the confidence to speak in high-stakes situations, like, for example, speaking to people in authority, even kings. That idea that God's word helps us in times of adversity, that God's promises are there for us to call on him to keep them, aren't just true for the psalmist. They're true for us as well. God's word has and still does keep us steady in times of need. Now, times of need are sometimes times of adversity, times of trouble, but there are also times when we need to rise to the occasion. God's word keeps us steady in our time of need because it anchors us in God's promises. It reminds us of his presence, and it empowers us to rise up when the occasion calls for it. And the more time I've spent with this psalm, the more contagious the author's love for scripture has become. You just can't help but feel like there is so much available for us if we would engage with scriptures and enable that to make room for God. We would tap into how scriptures can create space for God to work in our lives. It's hard to read Psalm 19 and not catch some of that love for scripture. So I'm going to invite you, friend, to make room for God by cultivating that love for scripture. For some of you, it involves tilling the soil. You've never even explored loving scripture. For some of you, it's tending to something that has been unattended. For some of you, you've already got a deep love, and perhaps there's some pruning to be done and a new area to explore, whatever it is. Make room for God by cultivating that kind of love for his word. Now, the psalm doesn't just communicate love for scriptures because of the difference that it has made in someone's life. The psalmist doesn't just talk about the difference it's made in his life, but he seems to have this love for scripture because of all the different ways he can engage with it. There are so many different ways that he talks about it. It reminds me of a scene in the movie Forrest Gump. Forrest is getting on the bus. He's on his way to boot camp to serve with the army, and he meets a man named Benjamin Buford Blue, but everyone calls him Bubba. And soon after they've met, Bubba starts talking about shrimping, and he starts talking about shrimping boats. He spent a good deal of his life learning about shrimping, participating in shrimping. He spent a good deal of his life on shrimping boat, and he knows all about it. In fact, his hope is to get his own boat and open up his own shrimping business when he gets out of the army. Now, it's clear that he loves shrimping. Even on his helmet, it says, "I'd rather be shrimping." It's clear that he loves it both because of all that he's experienced and he talks about, but also because he seems to love the fact that there's so many things that you can do with shrimp. There's so many ways that you could cook shrimp. And he proceeds to list them over a long period of time. You can boil them, you can fry them, there's shrimp cocktail, shrimp stew, and on and on and on and on. Just like Bubba had so many ways to prepare shrimp, the psalmist seems to have so many ways to engage with scripture, so many different ways to approach it. And I want to highlight just a few, because I suspect that for some of us, one of the reasons scripture doesn't seem to click, or we seem to find it hard to fall in love with scripture, is that we've only learned of one way to approach it, maybe two ways to approach it. And that method just didn't seem to click. And so we've decided, or maybe we've resolved, maybe scripture just isn't for us, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Perhaps a different way to approach, perhaps a different way to engage might be the key to unlock your love for scripture. So here's a few ways to engage with scripture. Some will be familiar and some might be new. We can engage scripture by studying it. This one is quite common. For many of us, it's the traditional method. For many of us, it's the reason we fell in love with scripture. And for some of us, it's the reason we don't think we can ever fall in love with scripture. We can study scripture by ourselves. We can study scripture in groups. In fact, it's part of what our small groups do when they gather together. Some formats of studying scripture are participatory when they're in groups. You are invited to engage. And in other formats, you sit and learn. Someone teaches you. It's good for lots of people. And if you've never tried it before, I want to invite you to consider picking a passage, printing it out, and trying to figure out both what the scripture meant at that time and what it might mean for us today. You may only end up with a list of questions. Maybe the next step is to meet with someone to help you figure out what it means. Studying it is a way to fall in love with the scripture. If you're not sure where to start, the Gospel of Mark is a great place to start studying scripture. For some people, the best way to engage scripture is by listening to it, by listening to scripture being read. There's a guy named Max McLean, and he's often one of the readers available in Bible apps or on websites that feature scripture as an audio format. And I love listening to Max read the scripture. When I hear him read passages, even passages that I've read hundreds of times, it affects me in a different way. Scripture gets into me in different ways when I listen to scripture. Perhaps that's a way for you to engage. Another way that people engage with scripture is by internalizing and memorizing scripture. And we talked about this last week. It's this idea of working a passage over and over and over again until it gets into your bones, until it gets into your hearts. In fact, we're going to practice it in just a little bit. The psalm also talks about meditating on God's word. And this idea of meditating is almost like chewing on the passage for an extended period of time. For some of us, meditating happens in short blocks. It all happens in an hour. For others, it happens over the course of days or months. Some people meditate on the same passage over a whole year. They sit with the passage. They engage with it in different ways. They engage it with their mind, with their heart, with their imagination. So many other ways. Perhaps meditating is the way that will help you unlock your love for scripture. One of the Connect devotionals wrote about obeying or applying scripture as a way to fall in love with it. And I didn't know, or I hadn't thought about like that being a way to fall in love with scripture. Now, I've talked about applying scripture. I've applied scripture in my life. I've obeyed scripture, of course. But I never thought about it being a method to unlock our love for scripture. Perhaps it'll be the method that unlocks it for you. It's this idea of taking a passage or taking a command or taking an instruction and then just going and obeying. Going and applying it intentionally as a way to grow in love for God and grow in love for God's word. I'm really intrigued by this one. So if you're trying it or if you're going to try it, could you email me and let me know how it goes? I'd love to hear how it impacts your life. There are so many ways to engage scripture. I think in part it's because scripture is so rich and so diverse. But I think it's also in part because we're so different. And God has provided means for each of us to be able to unlock our love for scripture. If scripture hasn't clicked, if it hasn't clicked as a key component in your life, as a way to make room for God, perhaps it's time to try a new approach. What if you gave the next month to trying one or more of the approaches we talked about until you find the one that clicks? Or if you already have one that clicks, perhaps you can spend the next month trying a different one and see if it unlocks a new way to grow in your love for God and your love for God's word, to see if it unlocks a new way to make room for God to work. In my years playing board games, I've learned that people have lots of different ways of learning how to play a board game. Some people need to read the instructions from cover to cover. Some people need to have someone who's read the instructions sit and explain every aspect of the instructions to them. Some people need to hear just enough that they can get started in the game and permission to ask questions along the way. And some people are just like, let's just start and we'll figure it out as we go along. I can't play board games with those people. But regardless of the preference, the goal is never to learn the rules. The goal is never to learn how to play the game. The goal is not even to figure out which method of learning how to play the game is the best for you. The goal is to play the game. The goal is to have fun. So let's never lose sight that the goal isn't to master one or 20 methods of how to engage Scripture. The goal is to grow our love for God's word. The goal is to grow our love for God. The goal is to make room for him to work in our lives. Today, the invitation is to make room for God by engaging in God's word. Would you make room for God by engaging in God's word in whatever way grows your love for that word? In a moment, I'm going to put up some reflection prompts in light of that. And I want you to consider the questions and the prompts as you go through your day and week. But before I do that, I want to invite you to sign up for the Summer Better courses that we have that are dedicated to methods of engaging Scripture. The first one starts this very week, this coming Thursday. So go to summerbetter.org and sign up for that. The next one starts just at the beginning of July. And I also want to take a moment for us to practice the passage we've been memorizing. Last week, we talked about Scripture memorization, and we decided that as a congregation, as a community, we were going to memorize Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. So whether you've practiced one day, every day, or you only read it last week when we read it in the service, would you join us in reading that Scripture out loud wherever you are right now, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And if you have practiced it, try to see how much you remember. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, and after having done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. Thank you for reading that with me. I'm going to read the questions that I'm inviting you to reflect on in just a moment. Then I'll pray, and then the questions will be up on the screen for just a minute. The questions are as follows. What difference has engaging with Scripture made in your life already? Recount what it has. And whether it hasn't or it has, what difference would you like it to make? If you were to try to engage with Scripture, if you were to try a different approach, what difference would you like it to make in your life? Then I'd like you to consider what approaches you have tried to engage Scripture, and what's that been like? Even if it's been frustrating, it's important to see what worked, what didn't, what clicked, what didn't, and in what ways. And lastly, consider and resolve which approach you would like to try. And then consider what you need from God and what you need from your community in order to overcome any barriers and move forward with engaging with that approach. I'm going to pray, and the questions will be up on the screen for just a minute. May you experience God growing your love for him and his word as you try to engage Scripture this week, as you engage with Scripture in the coming week and the coming months. May you experience freedom. May you experience peace. May you experience joy. May you experience him directing you on the right path, and may you feel him with you in whatever your time of need may be. In Jesus' name, amen. Questions will be on the screen.